How many of you guys are excited about Christmas tomorrow? That is not even remotely close enough, okay? Are you really excited about Christmas tomorrow? Yeah, so am I. How many of you guys here know that tomorrow we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ? You guys know that? How many of you guys know that tomorrow is about Jesus? Yeah, absolutely, right? How many of you guys are totally excited to open your presents? Come on, don't lie. How many of you guys know you're going to eat some really good food tomorrow? And about 1,000 Christmas cookies. Come on, kids, 1,000 Christmas cookies. Who's up for the challenge? Oh, yeah. See, we're going to enter into an unbelievable day tomorrow. It is Christmas. It's full of presents and cookies and food and family and fun and friends and people and hugs and the pinching of cheeks. And all of that stuff's going to go on tomorrow. And it is about Jesus and about celebrating his birth. And so tonight, as we prepare ourselves to enter into our Christmas day tomorrow, I wanted to just take a few minutes to be reminded myself of why Christmas is actually about Jesus, why it is that we celebrate his birth, and why that's such a big deal, and then how on earth we are going to find that reality of Jesus and his birth among all of the other wondrous things we're going to get to be part of, because there's going to be a lot of them, and it's going to be exciting. And before you know it, the day is going to be over, and I want to make sure tonight that we bring ourselves to a place where we are drawn into the fact that this is about Jesus, and we see where he is waiting for us in our tomorrow. So to capture that, we got to jump back in time and start with the beginning and the intent of God in our story. As many of you know, a long, long time ago, God created us human beings in a wondrous and perfect environment so that we could experience fully his freedom, his life, and his light, and so that we could take that freedom and life and light, and we could reflect it and declare it and demonstrate it through the way that we live and the things that we do. And we were created to become these creatures that shouted back at all of creation, including those around us, "Look how awesome God is! Look how awesome God is!" And while we were in that place, God's enemy came into our story. And he tempted us. He whispered to us a little question. He said to us, "Listen, I know what God said. I know what his instructions were. I get it. But I want you to know that if you choose to do things your way instead of God's way, you will have a much better life than the one you have now." He said to us that if we ignore God's instructions and we choose to do it our way, we can become just like God and we can rule ourselves instead of living under God's rule. And he convinced us in that place that living under our own rule would give us a better, bigger life than living under the rule of God and his love and protection. God had given us clear instructions that if we did things our way, it would end in a different place, darkness and death, but we were convinced otherwise. He told us, "God is lying to you. He's only telling you that because he doesn't want you to experience the awesome life that he has as a God." And so we bought in, which was kind of odd because we were created to desire and long for God. And so in every sense, we should have chosen God. It wasn't like now when we have that stuff in us that kind of always wants to touch the things we shouldn't. This was before that. And so everything should have pointed us back to God. But we decided, no, better idea, do it my way. Well, that day in the garden, when we stepped into the pursuit of our own divinity, to become our own God, ruling our own hearts, we discovered exactly what God told us we would. We discovered instead of divinity and life and freedom, we discovered death and darkness and bondage. And from that time on, we felt the great loss of what we had, especially early on in our human story. But instead of abandoning us, instead of leaving us to ourselves as he should have, instead of saying, good luck, run your life, see what happens, God began to whisper to us in the very early part of our human story a promise. He said, "I have a gift for you. I have a gift for you that is going to change everything. It is going to come, and when it comes, you will recognize it, you will see it, and when it comes, it will buy back all that you lost. It will redeem. The word redeem means to buy back. The opposite of redeem is to abandon. And this gift was the opposite of abandoning us. It was saying to us, it's coming, and when it comes, it's gonna be awesome. How many of you kids here have been telling your parents for 6 months what you want for Christmas? Come on, raise your hands. Ah, there you go. How many of you repeated it over and over again in case they didn't hear it? How many of you have written the letters and mailed them in the post office to the big red guy? Come on now, bring me my gift. Oh yeah, we've all done it, haven't we? Every one of you at some point in your life, perhaps even this Christmas, had a gift that you are longing for. You're hoping with all your heart that it's under that tree. You know you are. You're like, oh my gosh, I can't wait for tomorrow. And all this time, it's been lingering there. And in the same way, God whispers to us a promise of a gift coming that is going to enter into our story. And the people that began to be born heard of this gift that was coming. God then, beyond just promising us a gift, began to protect us as a human race. He protected us from ourselves. We had become dark and we had become selfish and we had become violent. And in Genesis, it tells us every intention and thought of our hearts was evil. And so we were going to self-destruct, and God protected us from our own self-destruction by rescuing us through a man named Noah and his family and starting with a brand new story as it unfolded. Still this darkness with us, but a brand new start for us. Very soon after that, God protected us again by dividing us into people groups and cultures, because unified, we were trying to pursue our own divinity again. And so throughout history, God demonstrates his protection of us, protecting us from ourselves and our own darkness. He picks for himself a nation, and through that nation, he gives them the law and the sacrificial system as a means by which they could slow the detrimental and damaging process of darkness in our lives, and they could maintain for a period of time this process toward God to help us be ready and wait for the gift to come. It was just like you, when your parents are like, hey, listen, just be patient. Christmas is almost here. In my house, I tell my kids, you open one of those gifts, you peek, and I'm taking it back to the store. Yes, I am. And so they watch and they wait, and they can't wait to see what it is, but they know they can't touch. And God came to us as human beings and said, man, I'm coming with an incredible gift, and I will protect you and preserve you, and I will even move you forward, keeping darkness away from you for a period of time. Though you are not fully restored, fully rescued, it's coming. And then he began to reveal what this gift was going to look like. He sent us the prophets, and the prophets began to speak to us, and they began to tell us very specific details about this gift and who he was going to be and what he was going to look like and where he was going to show up and how it was going to play out. The kinds of details that allowed for us, when we got to see this gift appear on the planet, allowed for us to go, there it is, there it is. Oh my gosh, that's it. That's the gift. It's like, you know, when your parents come in with that wrapped gift and they stick it under the tree and you see its shape and you already know. You already know. L-E-G-O. Lego! I love it. You're not allowed to shake it, but you can see the box and you know it's coming. And so we started hearing, here comes this gift, and you can see it. You can see it coming. And then one day it happened. There was this guy and his wife. His wife's name was Elizabeth, and she was an older lady past the stage where she could bear children. And he was a priest, and he goes in and he's talking to God, and the angel Gabriel shows up to him and says, hey, listen, your wife is going to have a baby. She's going to get pregnant and have a baby, and it's going to be awesome. And this baby is going to be very, very, very important to history, because this baby is going to make the way for the gift. This baby is going to shout about the gift coming because we've arrived. It was like Christmas Eve. It's like the gift is coming. You know it's tomorrow. And this old man, he actually dared to say to the angel, look, my wife is really old, and I don't understand how that could happen. And the angel did what I wish I could do to my children on a regular basis when they talk back. He said, you can no longer speak for 6 months until the baby's born, or 9 months. And he couldn't speak. I mean, wouldn't that be awesome? You talk back to your dad, boom, silence, 6 months, done. I want to do that. I want that spiritual gift. But it's not mine. So He couldn't speak. She gets pregnant. Off she goes. In the meantime, there's another young woman who happens to be the cousin of this woman, and her name is Mary. And she is living in a little town called Nazareth. And one day, that same angel, the angel Gabriel, shows up in her story, and he says some incredible things to her. And we begin to sense, just like on Christmas Eve, the coming of something wonderful. Listen. And it says this. And the angel Gabriel, hold on one second, here we go. And the angel said to her, this is to Mary, do not be afraid. Angels always say that first because we're always dead scared when a glowing human being appears with big wings staring at us. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. See, in that moment, the angel says to Mary, the gift is coming. It's coming. This is what the prophets have been talking about. This is what God's been preserving and protecting the human race for. It is time, and it feels just like we feel tonight. All excited about what's coming tomorrow. Not quite sure what it is, but hoping that it's going to be really good. And then, as Mary found out that she was going to bear a child, and at that time, of course, Mary is a virgin, so she's like, excuse me, I don't know that that's possible. And he goes, I know it's not possible. That's what's so cool about it. And he says, this gift is going to be so incredible, so supernatural, that everything about this gift is going to be different. And then Mary goes and visits with her cousin Elizabeth because she hears rumors about what's happening with Elizabeth. And it says this in verse 41, and when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt inside her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And here we begin to hear something very special is happening. Well, it turns out that the leader of the nation that these guys lived in wanted to do a census. That's where they count all the people. And in order to do a proper census, they needed all the people to go back to the town where their ancestry tracked back to. So Joseph and Mary, after they are now married and Mary is quite pregnant, they travel to a little town named Bethlehem, which is where King David, that's the ancestry of Joseph, comes from. So they end up in Bethlehem, and you're not going to believe it. As you well know, in Bethlehem, this child is born. And oh yes, one of the prophets said that that was exactly what was going to happen. So this is the moment where you get to shake the box. You're not supposed to, I know. But you shake it and you're like, it's definitely Lego. You see, you start going, this gift, I think it's what it is. This is the promise. This is the one that's going to come. And then as the baby is born there, we see the confirmation of this gift in incredible ways. We see a bunch of angels show up in a field with a bunch of shepherds. Listen to this. It says here, let's see, where are we? Here we go. It says in verse 10, and the angel said to them, fear not. They were glowing again and had wings. So that's how they always start. Don't run away. We're not going to hurt you. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. See, this is where the story starts unfolding and you're like, you gotta be kidding me. I mean, angels declaring the gift has come and it's been born onto our planet and it's here. We don't quite know what that means. We don't quite know how it's gonna play out. We just know that the gift has come. And not only this, but in the meantime, for months and years and hundreds of years, God has been preparing the way for this gift to be recognized across cultural boundaries. You see, there's these guys from the eastern part of the land, way up east, probably from the area where Babylon existed. And they are guys that study the stars and study all sorts of movements and all sorts of crazy cool science stuff. And they're watching, and then they discover a star. But you see, they recognize the star. They recognize it for what it is, because hundreds and hundreds of years before that, a guy named Daniel was in Babylon. He was one of the Jewish people, and he prophesied about the coming Messiah. And he declared a couple of things that these guys have been watching for generations, passing it down. And these guys see the star, and they're like, "You gotta be kidding me. This is what we've been waiting for." It's, you see, it was Christmas Eve back in the East as well. And we find out in the book of Matthew that this is what plays out with these guys. Listen to this. In Matthew chapter 2, it says this. "Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?'" How would they know this? Well, I'll tell you how they know. Listen, they said it. "For we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." Whose star did they see? His star. See, they didn't go, "We saw a star, we weren't sure what it was, so we kind of followed it, and hey, we're in Bethlehem. Anybody know what's going on?" No, no, no. They're like, "Where's the king?" "What king?" "The one. His star came up. We've been watching for it for generations, and there it was, and we followed it, and we want to know where he is." The gift has arrived. Well, we get the incredible privilege of following that story throughout the New Testament as we follow Jesus. And we begin to discover, as we unwrap this gift and we begin to tear at it and we begin to see it all. You know that moment where you're tearing at the gift? You know it, right? And you see it and you pull it and you've shaken the box and you've seen the size, but you finally tear the paper open. There's the L. L. And you go, E, G. You don't know which one it is yet, because you wanted the Star Wars one. It might be like the Ninjago one, but you're like, "It could be the Star Wars one." And then you see one of the little guys with the little swords, and you're like, "It's Star Wars." That is exactly what was happening as we discover Jesus unfolding on this planet. The more he teaches, the more he does stuff, the where he goes, what he does, every prophecy starts appearing all over the place. His teachings are powerful. His actions are powerful. He is miraculous in every way. And we begin to see this is the gift given to us so that we could have life again and freedom again. And we could be set free to be who we were meant to be, rescuing our souls and restoring our purpose. And then we watch it happen. He dies and he rises again, and he rescues our soul and he restores our purpose. He says, "Now you're free again because I've died for you and I've paid the price for that darkness and that death that consumed you. I've taken it from you now. You're alive again. And wait, it gets better. When I created you to be something, to display something, to declare something for me. That's back. That's yours too. You can go into all the world now and you can make known the wonders of redemption." Redemption meaning to buy back. The opposite of abandon. "I have come for you. I have redeemed you. I have rescued you. And you're free." That is a gift. That is an incredible gift. And when we finally discover that gift, we are like, yes! So tomorrow you're going to wake up like I am. Kids, you're going to wake up way earlier than me, just like my kids. You're going to be knocking on your parents' door going, "Can we get up?" I know. You're going to be really excited. And we're going to run into unwrapping gifts, and we're going to be running into cookies, and we're going to be tearing at things, and we're going to be enjoying every minute of it. And in the midst of all the chaos and the craziness, we're going to try to remember to add Jesus into it. Do a little Jesus story on the side. Maybe do a little birthday cake. Sing happy birthday, Jesus. And then the rest of the day is going to be about the insanity. But listen. Listen now. You don't have to do that. You don't have to go and try to fit Jesus in on the side somewhere to make sure that you remember it's actually about him. Jesus is already there. He's everywhere. He's in every part of the story. As you tear at one of the gifts, opening, hoping with all your heart that it's what you're longing for, remember that that's exactly how the human race felt, waiting for the promise to come. And then when you discover a gift that you love, you open and you're like, you didn't, you got it for me, I'm so excited. Remember that that's exactly how the people felt when Jesus arrived on this planet and they began to see and began to realize who he was. And then when you open the box and you start playing with it and you see all of the wonder that that gift actually is, remember that as we discovered who Jesus was, we were absolutely in awe of all the things we could do because of him. Have you spent weeks preparing a meal or preparing to buy a gift for someone and now tomorrow you're all nervous because you're going to present it and what if they don't like it and what if it's not what they want? What if the food's not good and all that? Have you ever felt that way? That is exactly how we feel as we now receive the wonder of redemption and God says, go, go into all the world and tell them. And you're like, what if they don't want it? And what if they don't, I don't understand? And that same sense of, I get to carry this out. I get to bring this about. He's there. He's waiting for you. You see, we've been traveling through this series here at Mosaic Church called It's a Wonderful Life. And what we've been doing is we've been staring into the story, kind of trying to see what does life look like because Jesus actually came and what if he hadn't? And you know what we've discovered? If you've been here, you know we have, right? We stared into the human story and you know what we found? Jesus is everywhere in the human story. He's in the beginning of it, he's in the middle of it, he's at the end of it. He has impacted and affected the human story in massive ways. And then we looked at the cultural story and we saw cultures around the world and our own culture and we started realizing everything good about what we have is because the truth of God impacted and intersected our world. You remove his truth, you remove everything good about our culture. You remove from us the ability to even grieve bad, horrible things because we'd think they were awesome. He's everywhere, in everything. And then last week, yesterday, we stared into the stories of individual human beings. And I asked you, rediscover your story. Stare into your heart and go, he's everywhere. Everything about my story is because of him. Every good and perfect gift I have is because of him. And as you stare into that, be drawn back into the fact that the life, the wonderful, extraordinary life you have is because of Jesus. And guess what? If you think he's part of the human story and part of the cultural story and part of the you story, he is, but he's also in every part of the Christmas story. He's everywhere. He's in every gift you'll unwrap tomorrow. He's in the tinsel and the decorations of a party you should throw to celebrate a king. He's in every bite you'll taste as you put that pecan pie in your mouth and you're like, oh, that's so good. Just know that when you taste of the wonders of God, it's exactly how you feel. He's everywhere. So my challenge to you as I am challenged is to find him in everything tomorrow. Don't try to stick him in on the side. He doesn't need you to do that. He's everywhere. Just go find him. And every now and then, just throughout the day, when you see him, a kid is opening a gift and they're like, it's what I've always wanted. You go, there he is. There he is. There's Jesus. He just showed up. The wonder of Jesus was right there. What? And have everyone in your room go, what are you talking about? And then you tell them everything's about Jesus, all of it. And when you take the bite of a perfect dessert and you bite into it, just go, oh, he's there. He's so there. That is so Jesus. This is what it feels like when you experience Jesus. I'm telling you, he's everywhere, folks. I'm not telling you this because it's not true. I'm telling you this because if you watch for him, he's waiting for you everywhere tomorrow. And if you begin to declare that in your own heart and you begin to watch for him intently tomorrow, you won't have to fit him in. He will be what everything tomorrow becomes about. And you will become exactly what you've been restored to be. A voice shouting from the mountain. He's here. He's with us. He came. This is such an awesome day. And your kids and your friends and your in-laws and everybody else that's in your house will see in your heart that you see Jesus everywhere tomorrow. And if you do, if I do, we will end our day tomorrow in awe of the fact that in every present, in every bite of food, in every Christmas tree, in every moment, in every hug, in every pinched cheek, he was waiting for us there. And he is declaring himself to us. May tomorrow be about what it should be, Jesus, but not as a side note from all the distractions, but in fact, that all the distractions are just means by which he's making himself known. May you find him everywhere. And may you declare his love as you experience it in everything tomorrow. That's Christmas. That's what we get to do tomorrow. And that's why I am so excited. And make sure you declare it to each other throughout the day. Hey, kids, you see Jesus? He's right there. And now, kids, you tell your parents, oh, Mom, this bite of food, it was so like Jesus. Tell each other all day long so you never forget. He's everywhere. He's in the human story. He's in the cultural story. He's in your story. And he is in Christmas. And none of them, none of those stories exist without Jesus. That's why tomorrow is about Jesus. Let's pray. God, as we enter into the Christmas story tomorrow, as we are reminded of the wonder of the supernatural events that took place on our planet when you showed up, of all the prophecies you declared to prepare us to see you, of all the protection and preservation that you effected in our human story as you allowed us to linger long enough to experience the gift of Jesus, and then as all the implications of that gift continue to wash over us tomorrow, as we begin to see once again, wow, you changed that, and you changed that, and you gave me that, and I have that because of you, and wow, God, may you just overwhelm us tomorrow with visions of the wondrous gift that you were to us. And may we enjoy every minute tomorrow, every minute of opening presents, every minute of enjoying meals together, every minute of hugs and celebrations. And may we see you in all of it. May we find you in all of it. And when we do, may we just shout it out briefly. He's right here with me. He's right here in this, so that we would become a voice shouting from the mountains, Jesus has come. Jesus has come. God, we love you so much. You're so awesome. And we're so excited to see you tomorrow, to celebrate you tomorrow, and to be completely and utterly consumed and in awe of you tomorrow. Thank you for giving us a day like this to stop, to celebrate, and to enjoy you. We love you, Jesus.